Good morning. My name is Dennis Lamadic.
Hey,
it's good to be here today. I can't say that when I accepted it, I was all enthused about it, because once I looked at the topic, it was something that I didn't want to discuss. You know, but God does for you what you won't do for yourself sometimes. This is where I needed to be, where I needed to talk about. Start off to say my clean date is April 21st, 1987. So this is my anniversary. You know, and just to start off, I hadn't planned on celebrating. You know, I had to tell people, tell me, newcomers, well, this is not you. But you see, that shows you where my disease has been taking me. And since we are talking about switching addictions, you know, this is really where I needed to come and where I needed to be, where I need to talk about. You know, because I got here because I couldn't drink and I couldn't drug successfully. But I was an addict before I ever picked up. And as far back as I can remember, you know, you talk about switching addictions. When I switched addictions, I switched to using. Because my lifestyle, my life, and the things that I like to do, I was addicted to everything that made me feel good. I can remember as far back as I was just about 3 years old. Of course, I wasn't thinking about using anything, but I used to like having fun. I used to could not get enough attention. I used to like being around folks, playing, didn't want to go in the house. And I used to stay outside until I'd crap on myself, I'd piss on myself. I'd go in the house, get a beating for another time. And the only time I would go in the house, because they didn't want nobody to play with me, because I was stinking. You know. But these are the type of things that I see today is what brought me to where I am today. You know, and I talk about the good feeling, because I grew up in a time where I thought it was fashionable to be smart in school, honest student. I did that. By the time I was in high school, I barely graduated. It was not because I certainly got stupid. I guess I did get stupid. But it was trying to be around the crowd that I couldn't let go of, trying to do the things, even the things I didn't like doing. You know, I wasn't no hoodlum, but I hung out there with them. You know, I wanted the attention. And I guess I could never felt accepted. It had nothing to do with my upbringing, because I know I came from a loving family. It was just me. And I see that now. And there were a lot of things and I guess I took extra hard where other folks would shake off. And I can remember my parents were going to separate when I was younger. And I guess, well, I was my mother's favorite. And I had a brother. He was my father's favorite. And I guess we messed him up. They were going to split the kids. I told him I wanted to go with him, and he wanted to go with my mom's. My father got angry, you know. And what I'm sharing about right then is that I could not accept that. I thought it was something that was my fault. But just to kind of get through those things, I did start using. You know, my first drug of choice was picking up a beer. I liked the way it made me feel. I liked as I started the progression of the disease and started getting high off everything. I liked the way that felt, because it allowed me to get outside of me. It allowed me not to be the shy person, because when I got what I wanted, I knew everybody. There were no strangers. I was an expert on every topic. There was nothing that I did not know. At least I didn't think that I didn't know. You know. But it was one other thing. It was a same process of me trying to step outside of myself to be somebody other than me. And when I got here, I could not use successfully anymore. I either couldn't get high or I'd overdose. And I'll share this I've always been able to maintain a job. The last time that I did use, I was on my morning break. I've been to treatment before. I had the blessing of working with some relatives who knew me and who were trying to get me to go back to treatment. But this time, I thought I had heard some things, and I told them, look, I know what to do. If I can't make it through the next couple of weeks, I'll go back in. And the next time that I got hired, I went out again. But this time, I woke up in the corner of an oil joint. I was in one corner. Somebody else was in another corner. And it was like a spirit came on me and said, I woke you up. Wasn't nobody there bringing me to. I was busting sweat. And I walked out of the place. The first person that I saw was a mailman. And I walked up to the mailman and told him I wasn't going to get high no more. Of course, he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was out of it. I went back to work, incoherent. And that's where I surrendered. You know, they took me from the job straight to treatment. And some things started to happen that I could start to see some things. Where I went to treatment, I was in their first lockdown with a bunch of adolescents. 12, 13, 14 years bouncing off the walls. And that was the first place that I can kind of identify with my behavior. Out of control. Didn't know what to do. Erratic, you name it. And for the first time, I could see some of the things about what I was doing. And of course, I got transferred to another facility. And I started to hear a few things, you know, that I didn't have to continue to live like this. There was a better way of life. You know, no one told me that I had to stop really getting high, or stop, but they told me to try some things. You know, and life got immediately better. And I'm talking about immediately better in the treatment facility because I was in there with people who had to be detoxed with methadone. Nothing. I went straight there and was fine for my first 28 days. It was a 31-day program. On that 28th night, I went in the bathroom and had some sex. That night I had the sweats, couldn't sleep, tossing and turning, and that's how it was for the next 9 months, even though I was clean. But you see, the awakening and things that I didn't want to pay attention to, and the things of why, when I do struggle, was that God immediately answered my prayers. He immediately took the compulsion, the obsession from me. But I snatched back the compulsion and obsession, not in getting high, but in my behavior. And it brought down everything that I didn't want to have. And life, getting clean and trying to stay clean, it was not difficult. But I've been a person who has been reluctant to do what I needed to do to better myself. And I'm talking about working in earnest steps. I only have done those things when the pain was great enough that I didn't have any choice. I wasn't the type of person who was going to come back in here and tell you that I got high. And the same type of things that kind of kept me out of here, kept me in here. I said, I'm going to try to do some work because I don't want to use. I'm not going to jack my hand up. And the other thing, too, that kept me in here was fear. I didn't think that I can get high and live. You know, and I was not quite ready to check out that way. I've tried to check out many other ways, you know, and that I came in and picked up some new habits and behaviors that I didn't bring into the rooms with me. Some of those have been tricking. You know, I never did care who I slept with, so that was no big deal. But the thing of trying to find myself, And I guess the first other addictions that I picked up was food. I mean, that's just a natural. But, you know, I didn't even realize that until one day I was going into the store. This I've had about 2 years clean. And I was in the store trying to buy some clothes. I kept on trying to fit the clothes on the mirror. After about the third time, the lady salesman said, "Why don't you try to put on something that fits?" And you know, you know I got mad. But here I was, you know, it's just not even recognizing, not accepting the fact that, you know, I'm indulging myself, eating like a pig, getting like big as a pig, and things like that. And I'm just saying, just really, just hanging in there. But it took me to about 3.5 years clean before I totally surrendered. And when I say surrendered, I mean surrendered that the program can work for me. Surrendered and started to do some steps work and stopped running from my sponsor. See, I didn't want anybody to know me. And, of course, if I was in here, everybody did. And when I said I didn't mind who I slept with, I mean, I didn't care if I slept with man, woman. You know, I tried to get the feeling that was going to make me feel good. That's what I wanted. And it was the type of things that I talked about, but I didn't work on. And my sponsor would tell me, say, you know what, you can keep running from yourself and keep avoiding the issues. You know, I didn't feel worthy. I had very low self-esteem. Being that I was getting older, fatter, bald-headed, I couldn't get over my looks anymore. I didn't even feel worthy enough to have relationships. It was easier to buy sex. And not wanting to deal with my sexuality, not wanting to deal with me, means that I picked up that habit of tricking to satisfy that feeling that I was no longer going to try to satisfy with the drinking the drugs. And that has been a battle. And the battle has not been the one that God has not been able to relieve me of. It's been one that I've chose to pick up again. And it's only been recently that I've been able to look at it for what it is. Using. The bottom line. When my behavior makes me feel like, you know, bad, it is just like I'm getting high. And I've had to hit bottoms, many bottoms, just like I hit the bottom of getting high, using for real. And other things, the unworthiness. I mentioned that I didn't want to come in here and share because I feel with my mind tells me with 14 years clean, you ought to not be coming up out of stupors because of your behavior. My mind would tell me that there are people with less time who progress much quicker in certain areas than what I have. But I've progressed just how I've allowed God to heal me. And what the program, the steps, you know, step works is that I continually have to go back to where I came in here. When I got sick and tired of being sick and tired and started and have fear to set in, to push me along. And life has not been that bad. I mean, work-wise, it's fine. Other things, it's fine. But when I get back onto that lifestyle, and some other things that happened too. You know, I know this is a spiritual program, but church was a big part of my life. You know, it was one of the things that have maintained me, even through my ups and downs. But last Sunday was the first time that I've been in church in about 7 months. And it was because I was bottom out again. I didn't go because I was in a relationship that I didn't want to be in a church with a young lady, and I just wanted to get over, have a good time. She was more serious than I was. I didn't want to deal with her because I didn't want to tell about my past. I didn't want to tell about my tricking. I didn't want to tell her, Dennis, you know, once again. And it took a couple of years of going through that off and on. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's with me. You know, I have this inherent fear of letting someone know me. And my spirit tells me that if I'm healing you, you ought to be able to talk about it to anybody. They don't have to be in the rooms. You know, it can be with anybody if I got you. But the thing about it is I don't let God take me all the time. I still battle with snatching back, you know, thinking things are going to get better. Get into things in which I know that there's pain, but I think I can handle it. And the behavior just don't lie. You know, when I get into the midst of dishonesty, deceit, and everything that comes along with it, my behavior is just like I just came through the doors. The way that I carry myself is just like that. And this has been an up and down thing. And it's not bad because, as I was listening to one share earlier, I mean, we go up and down, you know. And I am a witness that you can stay clean no matter what. And that's what the program had promised me. It didn't promise me anything, but if I came here that I didn't have to use. My other choices in which I've chose to grab on to folks and hold on to them were mine. Now, the ride has been good, and because I'm still here, it's been good because I know that there's a better way. Some other things is that I used to sponsor a lot of people at one time also. And I'm looking, you know, right now because I didn't sit down and I thought about some things that I was going to say. But it's been a day that I've been going back and forth. And it's been good because what's coming out is what needs to come out. And then in the last year or so, I haven't been a part of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous as I should have been. And see, because I had had some progress, because I had gone through the steps and think that some things are better, I had not been willing to give back and share with people me, the God, the way that God has given it to me to share. And my rewards have been spiritually have not been what they should, what they were at one time. But there's still hope for me. There's still hope, you know, because I don't get high. There's still hope that I'm not going to have, what we say, the other addictions. And you know, I keep on hitting on that because to me, an addiction is an addiction. You know, it's the same thing. The same reason I use to get up outside of myself, the same reason I do to other things, you know. And I'm share this, and I'm going to go ahead and close. I heard this when I was first came around, and it was something that I used to look at, and because a guy shared it with me, he said that it's a fable about this shepherd. And he had his favorite sheep. It was a large ditch. And his favorite sheep fell in the ditch. And the shepherd did not want to see the sheep suffer. So he said, I'm going to go ahead and bury him because I can't get him out. It's too deep for me to get him up out of it. So the shepherd kept on, just didn't want to look at him. He just took the shovel and started throwing the dirt in the ditch. And after he picked up the last bit of dirt and threw it in there, he heard the sheep say, "Bah!" You know, he looked around and he said, "You're here." And what the sheep said, I did, is every time you threw dirt on me, I stepped on it and stood up a little bit higher. Thank you. My name is Dennis and I'm an addict.
Thanks, Dennis. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker. She's Misha.
Good morning, group. I'm an addict, and my name is Michelle. And I'm grateful to be here. It's a true blessing to be here at this convention. And, you know, as they say, addiction is a cunning enemy of life, you know. And I remember how my life kind of started. It started off as an addiction. You know, I remember as a young child being teased, you know, every day. And it seemed like I carried through every day. The same activities carried on every day, you know. And I grew up and I got older and, you know, my thinking started to change. And it was like, you know, well, if they can do that, I can do this. You know, if they can say this, I can say that. And it just became a pattern, you know what I mean? And I kept doing these things. And people used to tease me real bad. I was a little short, dumpy, fat kid. You know, I had a short hair cut about like that. I had a silver tooth in my mouth. You know, and I'm from Buffalo, New York, and people tease me real bad, you know. And it was like, it's all right, you know, it's okay. And I remember going home crying. After a certain point, I remember I would cry. First, I started off, it would be, you know, I'd laugh along with them, act as if, you know, it was all right, you know. And then I got to the point where I was crying. And then I go home and I cry. And then then I talk to my mother and I cry as I talk to my mother. And this thing got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger. And then I had addictive thinking. You know, everybody that I met and every new place that I went, I felt like, oh, they're going to talk about me. You know, oh, they're going to say this about me. You know, all of that. And, I had already developed my own problem, my own resentments against life, against people, against things. I had already developed this thing, but I didn't know that till I got here. I didn't know that till I got in these rooms. And it just kept going, and it kept going. And I drank, and I drugged, you know. I smoked the reefer. I did the red dot. I did all that old stuff. Whack and love boat and all that stuff. Crack cocaine. Thought I snorted some crack and snorted some dope, you know. I ain't know what, you know, real whole lot of denial about a whole lot of stuff, you know. Because my parents was real good to me. I was a spoiled brat. Spoiled brat, spoiled rotten, you know. So that kind of like fit in there some way too. I just knew somebody was going to give me some attention. I just knew that everybody was going to be all right with me. But it didn't turn out that way. Things kind of like flipped on me. And it just all went the other way, you know. And I didn't know. I just didn't know what to do about any of it. And I said, it just got to be something that can be done about this. And so that's when I started doing my thing. You know, at the age of 13, I started doing my thing. You know, and I said, they think they're going to talk about me, huh? Yeah, I'll show them. I'll show them, you know. And, it just got to the point where, you know, a whole lot of series of activities of addiction took place. You know, it started with the drinking, as I said, the drugging. And then some other things fell in there. You know, it was a big old barrel, right? And something else fell in there called sex. You know, that thing fell in there. Bam! Once that thing fell in there, everything just took off. Bam! I was gone. That was it. I was off and running. I was on the track and I'm gone. And it seemed like everything just turned around. Everything just changed drastically from that point. From what I understand, I went to therapy once I got here. And from what I understand, my life was pierced at that point because the way the sex took place and the way it happened, I don't have to go into that. You know, that's an emotion. That's a real soft spot for me, right? And so I'm not going to go into that. But it carried on and it carried on, you know. And I was messed up. I was real messed up. And my mother couldn't understand my behavior of me talking back to her. And, you know, I never cussed her or nothing like that. But I would say some real nasty things. My tongue was just real, you know, sharp. And it was like I didn't care because I had already started consuming this substance, you know. And it was like, oh, it don't matter. She don't care. She the one let me do this anyway. Go in your room and do it. It's better for you to do it in your room than to go outside. You know what I'm saying? That's the way she carried, because she knew she couldn't really stop me, you know. That's the way she carried it, you know. And then I ended up outside anyway, you know. So it didn't matter, you know, because I was going to do what I was going to do when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. No matter what she said, I was going to do it, because now the substance that I was putting in me had taken over along with my thinking. See, it was no control. Everything out of control by now, you know. And, man, I kept coming back, to say it like that. I kept coming back, and she got tired. And she went to one of them meetings, Naranon, whatever it is, the other fellowship, whatever they call it. And she snatched the bottom right on out, right? That was it. And she came home, and she said, pack your little shit. You got to go. You done got too grown. And I'm too old and I'm too tired and you got to go. So I said, well, I tried to put the little six-year-old in there then. You know, I'm going to cry. You know, I want to bring all them old addicts from way back when, you know, and throw it in her face. Blam, try to make her feel bad. Well, you know that, Mama. You know, I won't do it. No, sis, you got to go. Pack your stuff. And I rolled on, right, and from there, I developed some more addictions that had to do with society. And what I did, I went from my mom's home, nice place, Silver Spring, Maryland, high rise, real, you know, nice place. From there, I went to the street. From the street, I went to the bus stop. From the bus stop, I went to the woods. From the woods, I went to detox. I left detox, went back to the street, did the same thing all over again, went to jail. I think that's how I went. Yeah. Went to jail. Came back out and just could not get it together, y'all. I could not stay clean. I could not stay clean. It just, for some reason, I wanted to stop so bad. You know how you got something in you that you just want to get rid of it so bad, and you just cannot stop. You just can't. And I couldn't, you know. And then I went through that series again of that sex thing again, you know. That's all that it was in there at that time was the sex and the substances and the thinking. All of it just took over, and I just did it, and I just did it until I hit a bottom. Of course, I didn't know I had to hit a bottom several times until I got here. It was many times. I've been to detox 11 times that I can remember, okay? And I got clean, and the first thing that happened once I got clean and stayed clean, I got big as a house. Now, mind you, I weighed 118 pounds and wore a size 3, and you see how tall I am. So you can imagine how I looked. They're probably about like this thing right here, you know. And there was no curves or anything like that. It was just nothing going on, just nothing, you know. And I started to eat. I got big, man. I got big. And I couldn't go in the Bay Bays no more. You know that little store? I couldn't go in there anymore. And every time I would try, I tried to switch addictions because of the fact that I was so looking so messed up with what I already had. It wasn't fitting. Wasn't nothing fitting no more. You know what I mean? And I went shopping. So I went and shopped. And I spent above my means. You know, I didn't have no money. How are you going to shop and you don't have no money? You know what I'm saying? You ain't got nothing. You ain't got no money. You working like maybe once or twice a week, but you going to try to go shopping. You know, can't trick no more. That's just out the question, you know. And it was just really, really digging down deep and just that hole that we get in our soul, you know, it was just wearing so, so deep. It was like, now what are you going to do? Are you going to do some work now? Are you ready and willing to do some work now? You know. And the pain got just that great, and I had to do some work. I had to do some work on me to get to a point where I accepted me for me. You know. I had to get to a point where, you know, it's like, no, you can't fix it like this. You can't sex your way through this one. You can't shop your way through this one. You can't eat your way through this one. There's some more work that you got to do, and it's got to be done on the inside. You know. And I tried, but see, the thing that made it bad, I tried to do it by myself, because now I'm so ashamed about what I'm doing and how I'm going about doing everything. I don't want to ask nobody for no help, you see. And I ended up getting, I even went through an addiction as far as sponsors. I mean, it's like, if you're not going to follow instructions, well, you know, I'm not fooling with you, because you're not going to learn anything. And I went through this with people in the rooms, you know, and I always came with some bullshit, you know, and they told me that's what it was. You know, I said, no. There's some shit here. You ain't getting to it. You ain't getting to the root of it, you know. And I hit a bottom in that, and I ended up where I had to. I had to go all the way through and work it all the way down to the utter gut. You understand what I'm saying? And I did that, you know. And now it's like, when the pain comes, the pain just comes. The pain comes and I know what to do. You know, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. And I'm not saying I got this thing. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm exempt and I'm not going to ever smoke no crack again or anything. No, I'm not saying that. I just know what to do. You know what I'm saying? And but for the grace of God, I swear to hope that was my last run on October the 8th, 1996. I swear I hope that was the last time. You know, but filling that void, I'm learning about that conscious contact. You know, I'm learning about that, Michelle, it's not going to be your way. And you can't try to put your hand in the hot pot and fix it. You know what I'm saying? You can't try. Sometimes, Michelle, you just going to have to sit still and hurt. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the times, it's nothing that nobody can say. It's nothing that a food can fix or a store can fix or any of these things. They can't be fixed that way. Sometimes you just got to sit and hurt and let God do what he's going to do when he's ready to do it. It's going to be in his time, not your time, Michelle, because you don't run nothing but your mouth. You see what I'm saying? And you got to learn to just sit still, sit back, and enjoy the ride, no matter how bumpy it may get. But you can't use, because you can't stop. Once you start, you can't stop. No matter what it is, you can't stop, Michelle. And you have to get that through your thick head. I don't care how much you think you know something. You cannot allow your addiction thinking, your addictive thinking, to take over one more time and let it ruin your life one more time. You can't, it's not going to happen. You can't let that happen. See, you got to let these people in these rooms, Michelle, help you learn how to live and help you learn how to think, so you know how, so you will feel different, so you will react different. And that's what it's about. It's all about change. See, and what I'm finding out is I couldn't think my way through this one. You see what I'm saying? I had to learn how to live different first, and then I was going to think different. I couldn't think and then go into a new way of living. I had to live and then go into a new way of thinking, you see. And but there's a lot of addictions. There's a whole lot of addictions. It's people addictions. I mean, it's a whole bunch of them that we, you know, but we going to hit bottom in all of them, you know, if we put them in front of you know who. If we put them up in front of the one who has all power, you know, we're going to hit a bottom. We're going to get that thing right one way or the other. See, because what's going to happen, what I'm finding out, what's going to happen, listening to people share and the experiences that I've gone through myself, I'm finding out more and more every day that I got to put him first. I got to put him first. And it's going to be, it's not going to be nothing nice. You know what I mean? Everything is going to, you know, crumble. Everything gonna crumble. Everything gonna crumble. And what I'm also finding out is either I'm gonna be in a sane asylum, or I'm gonna get locked up, or I'm gonna use again. Because that's what all of that boils, all of them defects of character. Anything behind them defects of character, I'm finding out, and these addictions that I did before I got here, are gonna take me back to using. All that stuff take me back to using. See, like I told you, I've been to detox 11 times. I remember so very well. My mom said, "You better slow your roll." She said, "You're getting ready to hit a brick wall." I didn't listen to her. And then when she came and pulled the bottom out for me and told me that I had to go, there it was, right there for me. I had to hit the bricks. And I hit them hard, y'all. I hit them real hard. I was in real bad shape out there. And it was hard to stop practicing those things, you know. What I found out there on that road that I was on, I found out that there was a lot of stuff toward the end that I couldn't even put on the path. I couldn't even do them anymore, some of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't be in the alley with my mouth in the old position no more. I couldn't even do it. It was so sickening to me. So the thinking would go and think of something else. You know what I'm saying? Try to do that mental thing. Try to do that mental thing, that con thing. You know how we do that con thing. You know. Or I would try to steal any of that. And I would get caught. And there was a lot of ass whoopings that I took out there on them streets trying to steal and didn't know how. Okay. and that kind of stopped me. And then it got to the point where I got to the end of the road and I wanted to keep on going, and I couldn't keep on going because I knew what I was going to have to do, and I just didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to do that anymore. So today, I just kind of hurt when it's in tune to hurt. Like, I have to say this. My aunt passed yesterday morning. You know, I cried about it. I'm hurt about it. You know, there was some issues between me, her, and my sister and my mom. You know, some type of jealousy things and stuff like that, you know, and... But, you know, being in this program this short period of time, I ain't been here but a minute. But I've learned that as long as my intentions are right and my heart is right, God gonna bless me. you know, he gonna bless me regardless, you know. I also yesterday lost my job. You know. And I was listening at the other meeting over there, and I heard something that made me just make me feel real, real good. Now this time, this one particular time, it wasn't me this time. This one time, y'all, it wasn't me this time. I swear to God, I know it wasn't me this time. You know? And it's all right. I gotta get enough job though. Gotta get enough job. You know, there's been some addictions on the job. You know, thought I was the boss. Thought I was the boss, and I ain't no boss. I'ma be a boss. I'm a drug addict. I can't be no boss. I can't tell nobody what to do. 'Cause I got addictive thinking. I think it's gonna turn out the same way every time, you know. Oh man, this thing is so real. It's so real. It's so good. It gets better and better and even more better, you know. I like it here. And the thing about my addictive thinking to do while I'm in recovery and hope to stay in recovery, what I would like for it to do is to just, you know, keep thinking about how much easier it is for me to stay here than it is to get back here. You know. But I can't use. As I said, I can't stop. When I use, I can't stop. Y'all, I can't stop. I'm telling you. It's ridiculous, you know. Y'all been real good to me. I'm a Skid Row bum for real. For real. You know. I end up with nothing. But for the grace, y'all, he's teaching me how to suffer in grace, you know what I mean? He's teaching me how to just hold on, even when I have to pretend that if the rope isn't there, I have to pretend that the rope is there and tie the knot two or three times and just hold on, you know what I mean? Because sometimes the thinking just gets so distorted, you know, and I just have to stop everything, whatever it is, block everything out. God, please help me, you know. Please help me just for right now, just for today. You know, just wrap me up and comfort me and hold me in your arms like you always have before I even got here. And just rock me and guide and put somebody in my path so I can do the right thing. So I can do the next right thing, you know. Because his will is going to be done whether I like it or not. They took the drugs away from me without my permission anyway. You know? So if he can do that, he can do anything. You know what I mean? He have all power. Man, this thing is real good. I am so enlightened by this whole thing, seeing all these people with all the newcomers, and I'm a newcomer too. Trust me, I'm trying to be as green as whatever is green in here. As green as that back there on that wall back there. I'm just being honest with myself, you know. This is me. This is the way I am, you know. I'm just really, really enlightened by this whole thing, and I'm truly appreciative to this program because it literally saved my raggedy ass one day at a time. I'm telling you. This is the best damn thing ever happened to me. And I'm going to say this. I've heard this said in meetings. This ain't nothing I came up with. This is just like the Washington Post. If you don't get it, you just don't get it. You know what I mean? And it's like the mafia. And I've experienced this myself. Once you get in, you can't get out. You know what I mean? That's the way it is because I tried to stay away from y'all people. Y'all got on my goddamn nerves. Y'all ruined my addictions. You know, all of them. Y'all even got me bad on the cigarettes. I, I, I want to quit and can't stop. And you know, and then somebody said, well, you know you can do it. All you got to do is work the steps. I'm like, damn. Let me have something, you know, and took all the rest of this shit from me. No. I'm going to try my best to quit, though. But I still have the addiction of cigarette smoking. And that can kill me, too. Y'all been real good. I appreciate it. Y'all patient and being patient with me because I'm very, very nervous up here. And with that, I'll definitely keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, I'd like to thank both the speakers, and we've got around about 15 minutes left. Before we open up the meeting, for those who would like to share, please remember to come in up to the microphone one at a time. Also try to keep in mind that the other addicts who are wanting to share. If you don't want to be recorded, please inform the person taping so they can turn off the recorder while you're sharing. And I'm going to bring it to an end with 5 minutes to go. So if anyone would like to come up and share, please do.
My name's Paul. I'm an addict.
Hi, Paul.
I'd like to thank our speakers for sharing their experience and strength and hope with us. I'm definitely glad I came in here instead of going to the dance. I need to recover more than I need to dance right now. I get trapped with my addiction. It's just one addiction for me. It's no other addiction. It's no other cigarette addiction. It's no other like alcoholism. It's no sex addiction. It's my addiction. My addiction is just one thing that just is out for one thing and just destroy me. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter if it comes at me through sex. It doesn't matter if it comes at me in drugs, in ego. I remember I was just sitting here and hearing our speakers share and talking about their childhood and being addicts before they even had the chance to pick up drugs. And I'm thinking of how I was always different when I was a kid. I was sharing with somebody on the ride down here that I remember like when I was like real young, like 8 or 7, I used to steal my mom's hairspray and like my dad's cigarettes, lighters and like matches, and like we'd go in the woods and we would like set fires. It's like a pyro. Like find firecrackers and set them off and stuff. And it wasn't for the sake of just setting off a firecracker, like lighting something on fire. It was the feeling that I got from it. It was a feeling that I got just like I get from doing every other thing that has always caused destruction in my life. It's that excitement, that anticipation, that getting outside yourself. And that was the thing that I experienced long before I used. My first time I ever got drunk, I was only like 6, 7 years old. I was at a party with my parents and I saw everybody drinking beer and I was like, hey, why not? You know, I drank like 2 beers at like 6 and 7 and my parents find me like passed out in the laundry room. I didn't even remember this story. They had to tell it to me when I was older. I'm going to keep it simple and short. I'd really like to thank Dennis, man. I was sitting there and you're sharing, man, and I'm like, I'm getting that gut feeling when you just know that like somebody is sharing something that like you experience in your life, and how many times that I come in here and I always think that I'm different and that I'm unique and that like the feelings that I have are so special. You know, I'm a special person today, but I'm not unique. I have a whole convention center people. I have thousands of people that I can relate to today. It's a gift that, thank God for NA. Thank God for NA. Because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Sharon.
My name's Adam. I'm an addict. I have a lot of experience with this. I've been an addict probably since I was about 10 years old, and I started using it at 14. You know, to me, it's anything that makes my life unmanageable. And it's happened more after I've gotten clean than it has before I got clean, you know. Like, in the beginning, yeah, it was stealing and stuff like that, but see, I was good at it. I only got caught twice in my life. So that never made my life unmanageable, you know. Stuff for me today is shopping, eating, like Dennis said. Not being responsible, I'm addicted to that. And that might sound funny, but it's true. Like, I'll be the one that sits there, and I'm supposed to be at work in like 2 hours, you know, and I'll be on the computer, and I'll be like, all right, that means I can sit on the computer for an hour and a half, not go, you know, just chill out here, get dressed, and then go right to work, you know. Hour and a half comes and goes. I'm like, damn. Well, they'll be all right without me, and then I end up losing my job, you know. And the thing that's funny is, like, right now, I'm trying to get responsible again, and I'm living off of my parents because of my other addictions I've acquired after I got clean. I have $30 to my name, but I'm okay, you know. Tattoos is another one I've acquired in addiction, piercings, physical pain, anything to take me outside of me and give me the adrenaline rush I used to have. I don't know. It's weird how when we put down the drug, in my opinion, anything else can replace anything in the world. Whether it be family, whether it be religion, whether it be sex, whether it be anything, you know. And a lot of them do refill me, you know. I forget which one said it, but friends. You know, I can't be alone. I can't. When I'm alone for more than 10 minutes, I start thinking about getting high. And that's just being honest. Like, I work maybe 3 days out of the week right now. And during the day, the responsible people are out working. You know, they're all doing their thing and chilling at work and stuff. And I'm sitting at home. No cable. All my CDs out in my car, and I'm too lazy to run down to the street and grab them. And it's like, starting to think about getting high, cutting myself. I'll get dead honest, masturbating. You know, stuff like that. Anything to make me feel good. So I'm really happy I came here, because this is one of my biggest problems in recovery. It really is. Sucks. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Andre. I thought this room would be packed tonight. I was rushing up in here to make sure I got a seat, because when they get full like this, and you got a topic just hot, you know, people just load up in here. So I'm kind of surprised, because I think that switching addictions is something that we all do, you know. We all come up in here because we got a problem with drugs or alcohol, or somebody tell us we got a problem with drugs or alcohol, and we need to come up in here. But I think most of us come to conventions because we truly recognize that we have a problem with drugs. And we recognize that we were addicted to that. And, you know, I looked the word addiction up. And what it means is to give yourself over to a strong habit. You know, and for me, when I first started getting high, it was an experiment. You know, somebody told me this would change the way I felt. This would increase the fun. And I started doing that, and it turned into a habit. You know, it turned into a habit in the sense that I like doing it. You know, I did it a lot. Then it turned into that strong habit to the point where I was doing it every day. And no matter what it cost, like my man was saying, you know, if I was late for work because I had to go get a package, cool. You know, if I had to spend money that I ain't had to spend, cool, whatever it took to get that habit off, you know. Today for me, through coming through NA, I found out that playing cards can be a habit for me. Playing games, watching movies, watching TV. I got into an argument in here tonight in another room playing dominoes, you know, because somebody went off because I didn't play this when they thought I played that. And I'm like, whew, I'm tripping, right? Because he's hollering. And I'm like, man, what the hell are you tripping about? What's up? You know? And he was wrong. And there was somebody else to validate that what was happening. But what happened, what ended up happening to bring me back to reality was it took me back to early recovery when I used to be playing cards all night long. And I'd be getting pissed because my partner ain't play the right card. And I'd be getting mad and walking home and stuff. And I took it to my sponsor and he was like, man, you know what, Dre? You got a problem because the things that are games, you take very seriously. And the things like your step work that you that should take very seriously, you think it's a game. And I'm like, okay, you know. And what ended up happening for me was he told me to step away from the table until I could do that. And I stepped away from the table for 2 months. And when I came back, I could take it like a game. And if I lost the game, I lost the game. Well, no big deal, you know. So tonight, when that little thing went down, I was able to catch the guy in the hallway and say, look, it wasn't nothing but a game, man. You know, and you think I played this and this. But see, the bottom line is, had you not played out of turn, we would not have been disqualified. So you need to get in touch with your part, you know. Because I'm able to get in touch with my part today. Because I practice being honest, open-minded, and willing. Now, the willingness is the part that really gets me with this addiction thing. You know what I'm saying? Because when I'm sitting there, like my man was saying, surfing the computer, knowing you got a paper you got to write, and I ain't willing to stop having fun, or seeking something outside myself to sit down and do what I need to do, that's when it causes problems in my life. And that's why I keep coming back here, because y'all keep encouraging me, keep pointing it right back to me, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I can say it's gotten better since I've been here. And I'm going to keep coming back, because y'all tell me it still gets better than that. Thanks.